Welcome to part two of this two-part series focusing on the School of the Americas, foreign policy relations in Latin America, and issues of social justice. Many other issues come up every day about social justice in Latin America. Many times it is not so easy to see the United States' ties to human rights violations. Under the Pinochet military dictatorship in Chile years ago, the CIA trained the secret police, which is responsible for the deaths and disappearances of tens of thousands of Chileans. When Nicaraguan civilians were forced to take up arms against the tyrannic Somoza family, they were dubbed Marxist guerrillas. Under the Reagan administration, it is the freedom fighters and the Contra Wars. Again, the use of language aimed at creating a false impression of reality in the public mind. When Congress became aware of the nature of this operation, they forbade funding for this terrible cause. The Reagan administration then turned it into an illegitimate underground network, which resulted in the Iran-Contra scandal of the mid-1980s. Unfortunately, these cases are common in the recent history of a handful of Latin American countries. It is cases such as these which we must strive to educate ourselves on, so that environments for social injustice cannot be created anywhere. Some more recent cases are the rise of the Zapatistas in Mexico, who once again are on the verge of being displaced or assassinated by the federal government and paramilitaries over a land dispute. Also in Colombia, plans to retake the land that was appropriated to peasants and farmers a number of years ago has helped to rekindle the ongoing civil war between these guerrillas, who are now being marked as terrorists. Again, the use of language shaping our sense of reality and also attempting to justify the war against them. The war has long been perpetuated by the Colombian military and paramilitaries being backed by the United States with supplies, helicopters, training, and now a share of intelligence, which puts these guerrilla land reformers at a great disadvantage. Eric LeCompte of the School of the Americas Watch in D.C. has recently taken a trip to Colombia. He tells us of his experience there.
Myself and other human rights advocates connected with SOA Watch and other human rights organizations traveled this past July to Colombia. We went there to witness firsthand what these graduates of the U.S. Army School of the Americas have done. We met people in Colombia who had been tortured at the hands of graduates of the School of the Americas. We also went into a town called El Tigre. On our way to this town, on our way to El Tigre, we would see signs spray painted on the walls in Spanish that translated to El Tigre will be wiped off the map. El Tigre is located in one of the southernmost departments of Colombia, Putumayo. It's an Amazon region. It's a very important region for the United States government and other first world countries because of the rich petroleum that's available, the rich oil that's available in the southern region of Putumayo. And so we traveled to this town of El Tigre, seeing these signs that El Tigre will be wiped off the map. And when we came into the town, more than 100 people were gathered and waiting to meet with us. We had to ask permission from the paramilitaries. Right-wing groups who work very closely with the Colombian military often have access to U.S. funding, who now control this town. And the paramilitaries, along with the Colombian military, are responsible for the vast majority of human rights abuses in Colombia. And so we went into this town after asking permission to meet with these people, and these people were able to talk with us about the fumigation that was going on, a policy under Plan Colombia sponsored by the U.S. government where planes rained down a herbicide called glyphosate produced by the Monsanto company. And the people in this town were able to tell us how this glyphosate had destroyed most of their subsistence food crops. The people in this town were able to show us their children with rashes, devastating rashes all over their bodies that had been caused by this aerial spraying to destroy the illicit coca crop. Unfortunately, according to the governor's authority in Putumayo, over half of what has been destroyed has not been the illicit coca crop. Over half of what has been destroyed has been people's subsistence food crops. So the campesinos, the farmers of this town, were able to share with us what happened, able to share with us their stories about the terrible aerial fumigation. But the people in this town, after showing us their children, they could not tell us what happened in their town just 2 years before. They cannot even mention the signs that we saw leading into this town that El Tigre will be wiped off the map because of the Ley de Silencio, or the Law of Silence in Colombia. And what that means is that you can't say anything that would upset any of the armed actors in Colombia, neither the Colombian military or the paramilitaries or the left-wing guerrillas, because if you do, you will be killed. You'll pay a very dear price with your life. And what they couldn't tell us was the terrible tragedy that befell their town 2 years ago. They could talk about the fumigation. They could show us their children, because both the paramilitaries and the guerrillas have called the fumigation a travesty and something that should be stopped. But they can't tell us how the right-wing paramilitaries and wanting to take back the southern region from the guerrillas, how they came into the town of El Tigre on a warm day, came into the town, gathered all of the citizens of the town in the center of town, and took 35 people and with machetes cut them from their necks down to their stomachs, pulling out their intestines, all of their innards, and throwing their bodies into the river that ran through the town. The river was so red that the children in the town called it El Rio de Sangre, the river of blood, and for days the bodies washed up on the shore. Also, before the paramilitaries left this town, they took 11 more people, 11 more campesinos, 11 more leaders from this town, and brought them into the jungle, where they were disappeared, never to be heard from again. This is what the paramilitaries did that day, that they can't talk about, the campesinos cannot talk about, or they'll be killed. And we asked, where was the Colombian military throughout all of this? Where was the Colombian military that was supposed to protect you? And what we found from the person who was able to share this story with us, is that the Colombian military was there, that they had blocked off the main road going into the town. They had blocked it off from each side so no one could come in or no one could get out. The people were trapped by the Colombian military. And who were the officers in charge of this Colombian battalion? Unfortunately, the officers in charge were graduates of the U.S. Army School of the Americas, located in Fort Benning, Georgia. So we returned to the United States with these additional human rights atrocities, and massacres documented, with a greater need to close this school of terror, sooner than ever, because it's people, it's campesinos, it's farmers, it's union organizers, it's teachers who are experiencing this terrorism daily from these graduates of the U.S. Army School of the Americas. Unfortunately, a training that's provided to these soldiers that's paid for by our tax dollars.
As you've stated, these former graduates of the School of the Americas have been well documented on their human rights violations for decades. Often the victims are landless peasants desiring agrarian reform just for subsistence. How can this apparent perpetuation of terrorism be ethical considering the current war on terrorism?
I don't believe it can be ethical. Right now it's purely hypocritical. If the Bush administration is serious about a war on terrorism, we need to start in our own backyard, and we need to close a school of terror that has led to the assassination and massacre of hundreds of thousands of people in Latin America. One of the most famous graduates of the U.S. Army School of the Americas is Hector Gramajo. Hector Gramajo, as well as Rios Montt. Both of these men graduated from the school, and they returned to Guatemala, where in the early 1980s, they orchestrated a plan of repression that assassinated hundreds of thousands of people, or disappeared hundreds of thousands of people throughout Guatemala. They targeted union leaders and teachers and student leaders. All these people were killed. Many people were killed for nothing more than wanting to learn to read, wanting the basic rights that we all want in terms of clean water, in terms of a roof over our head. And these people were organizing for this, and they were killed. And the graduates responsible, again, graduates of the School of the Americas, Hector Gramajo and Rios Montt, and our tax money paid for their training. So what we have found is that many of these graduates are notorious, and that they've been committing terrorism since 1946 all through Latin America. And unfortunately, we found that union leaders have been specifically targeted. In 1996, the Pentagon was forced to release training manuals used at the SOA. These manuals, we found, advocated interrogation techniques such as torture, execution, and blackmail. According to these manuals, these techniques should be used on those who do union organizing or recruiting, those who pass out propaganda in favor of the interests of workers, those who sympathize with demonstrators or strikes, or those who make accusations that the government has failed to meet the basic needs of the people. And unfortunately, we found that the graduates of the U.S. Army School of the Americas learned these lessons too well, because they've gone back to their country. And even in the past few years, in the early 1990s, we found many, many union organizers and leaders being killed in Colombia by graduates who received this training at the U.S. Army School of the America, by Colombian soldiers. One example, 20 striking banana workers were brutally murdered, their throats slit. 8 of the 11 Colombian military officers cited for the slayings were SOA graduates. Union members tortured. Unionist Maria Cristina Gomez and Miguel Lazo Quintanilla were two of the labor leaders targeted for torture and murder by members of the Colombian Air Force. SOA graduate Juan Rafael Bustillo commanded the troops cited. And unfortunately, the examples go on and on. We found that these soldiers who have come to the United States to receive this training, after they've received this advanced training, have returned home to their countries, returned home to El Salvador and to Colombia and Bolivia, and really committed the worst human rights violations and atrocities in Latin American history.
Do you think the recent experience with terrorism in the United States has helped people become more informed on global issues, specifically those dealing with the School of the Americas and its functions?
Well, what we've found is that more and more people here in the United States have become aware of the School of the Americas in light of the terrible tragedies of September 11th. The New York Times, the Manchester Guardian, big publications across the United States have begun to look at this training camp for terror in our own backyard, the School of the Americas at Fort Benning. And we found that more and more papers across the country have been writing editorials about this school, calling for its closure. We're finding that we're continuing to build momentum in Congress, and that church people and union people are getting involved in this issue more than ever before. And unfortunately, so much of the reason for that are these terrible tragedies that took place on September 11th, that people started to look at this training camp for terror in our own backyard and wanted to address it. So we have found that people have been more receptive to learning about this institution and seeing how this School of the Americas, this School of Terror, is paid for with our tax dollars. And people have been saying, this isn't right for our tax dollars to be spent this way. This School of Terror must close. A school of terror and torture isn't right if it's located in Afghanistan, and it's not right if it's located at Fort Benning, Georgia.
There's going to be a gathering in Washington, D.C. very soon to raise awareness about the war in Colombia and the School of the Americas. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That's right. April 19th through the 22nd, thousands of people will be descending upon Washington, D.C. to continue our legislative efforts to call for a closure of the U.S. Army School of the Americas. Thousands of people will visit their members of Congress over that day, inviting them to sign on to H.R. 1810. In addition to that, many other human rights organizations will join SOA Watch in Washington, D.C. that weekend to focus on the terrible, terrible civil war that's happening in Colombia, to focus on the plight of the people in Colombia. More graduates of the School of the Americas have been trained from Colombia than any other country in Latin America, more than Nicaragua or Panama. Colombia tops the charts with more than 10,000 graduates of this kind of terror training. So it makes a lot of sense, with the heightened civil war that's going on in Colombia right now, for us to really focus our efforts on stopping military aid to this country, and for stopping all military training to this country, a country where the Colombian military has one of the worst human rights abuses in the hemisphere. So throughout the weekend of April 19th to the 22nd, thousands of people will descend upon Washington to march, to raise their voices, and to call on the Congress to close this school and shout to the top of the Capitol, no more terror in our name.
What are some common questions that people ask you about the school?
People ask, why is this school of terror in operation? It seems so wrong when people hear about it. They can't understand how or why the U.S. government would be involved in this. They can't understand why our tax dollars would be wrapped up in teaching torture and teaching psychological operations to thugs in Latin America. And I think the answer is complicated. But I think what we're finding more and more is that there are many U.S. corporations that really depend on this kind of military training. And I think one example is NAFTA. Hours after NAFTA went into effect, Mexican workers rose up to say no. And the Mexican people in the southern region of Chiapas said that NAFTA will affect the prices for our food subsidies. NAFTA is something that will really, really hurt and further impoverish the people of southern Mexico. And right away, as these people were rising up and saying no, saying ya basta, enough already, the Mexican military moved in immediately with troops, helicopters, and artillery. At least 13 of the high-level officers who instigated this plan of repression on the people in Mexico in 1994, at least 13 of these high-level officers were trained at the U.S. Army School of the Americas. What we're finding more and more is that SOA soldiers are trained to protect the interests of U.S. corporations and maintain the economic status quo for a few rich and powerful. Just as SOA muscle has been used to beat down labor organizing under NAFTA, it's inevitable that this same military enforcement will be used in full force when the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, comes into full effect. And unfortunately, it's more than just the training, which really illustrates the reality of this. We've also found time and time again that in the actual resource materials used by the school, it teaches graduates, open quotes, to protect the strategic supply of natural resources throughout Latin America. That's what soldiers are being taught to do, and they're being taught to do it with training that shows them to target religious leaders, to target human rights advocates, to target union organizers, those who would say, our people here in these countries deserve to have clean water. Our people here in these countries deserve to have a roof over their head. We deserve to have food. And for making those requests, too often, they face the barrel of a gun of a graduate of the U.S. Army School of the Americas.
What would you suggest for those who would like to become active on this topic?
We are looking within the next months for a bill to be introduced in the Senate. We do have a bill right now in the House of Representatives, H.R. 1810, and we'd really encourage folks who are listening to this program to call their congressperson, call the members of Congress, and either thank them for sponsoring this piece of important human rights legislation or encourage them to sponsor it. Because now more than ever, in light of the terrible tragedies of this past September, we need to raise a united voice and support our members of Congress who are calling for this terror camp to be closed.
You can obtain information on how to contact representatives from the School of the Americas Watch website, which is located at soaw.org. Other information regarding this news feature can be obtained from the radio station that you're listening to right now. Call them and tell them how much you appreciate these critical ideas being brought to your attention. They can also furnish you with resources on the topics discussed in this news feature. I would like to thank my guests Merle Noldy, Rachel Castor, and Eric LeCompte. This feature was written and produced by myself, Michael Chouinard, at KVSC Studios in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Music for this feature was provided by Aaron Corday in part 1, and for this part, it is Snowboy in the Latin section. Thanks for joining us.